You are listening to a teaching from Jeff Johns, Senior Pastor of Whitehorse Christian Center. For more information, visit our website at whcc.net.
Let's hold our Bibles up. Lord, thanks for tonight, the opportunity for us to be here. We ask your Holy Spirit to come as our teacher, and everybody say it. Amen. All right. Turn around and tell somebody this is a friendly environment, and he's a friendly pastor. Yeah. If he's grouchy, you got to love him anyway. Praise the Lord. All right, yeah, I'm on my phone. Excuse me just a minute. I'm using it right now, obviously, but I'm using it right now to help with part of my class. How's that sound? Good. All right. Now, I'm going to minister tonight on keys for personal Bible study. I'm going to be teaching this for several Wednesday nights. I hope you can come and join us. There's a lot here to cover, but nonetheless, we're going to venture off and have fun. How does that sound? Now, I'm going to reiterate some of what I taught last week. And if you'll bear with me, I appreciate it. And what I taught last week is good. And hopefully what I teach this week is good. And I have some books up here. I want to also try to answer some questions that were asked of me after the class. Now, while I'm talking during the class, you feel free to write down questions. Or you may want to raise your hand, which means that you have a question and I may call on you. But sometimes people don't want to ask in front of everyone. And so you can just go ahead and write it down and give it to me. Some of those questions I no doubt will get to later as I cover various topics about studying your Bible. But we'll venture off tonight and ask the Lord to help us. How does that sound? In light of some of the questions and the material covered, I thought it best to reiterate notes from last week. And there's a lot to offer here. Now, just go like this. This is a huge subject. Praise the Lord for 12-ounce filet mignon. Or 8. And the older I get, the smaller my steaks are supposed to be. So 6 ounces twice a week, I guess, is enough. Thank God for a glorified body in heaven. I can eat all the steak I want to. But in the meantime, the best way to eat a steak, whether it's 12 ounce, 8 ounce, or 6 ounce, is one small bite at a time. And that is the best way to approach your Bible. So I've been saved for 46 years. My mother started taking me to church when I was in the womb. I attended church virtually every Sunday, and I heard the Bible as a boy in Sunday school class, and I was saved when I was 12. So for 46 years, I've been a Christian. For 46 years, I have been studying my Bible. And when I talk about Bible study tonight, I'm talking about your own personal devotion. Brother Eric, would you mind shutting that door right there, if you would please? The other one's fine, but that one reflects off the glass. Thank you, brother. Now, we're talking about, let's say together, my own personal Bible study. So I don't want you to be fearful or intimidated or in any way feel condemned. And that as a believer, we want to start, how do you start Bible study? You start reading it. So I want you to just keep it really simple. Let's say together, keep it simple. I was preaching before I had been saved 10 hours. When I stood up to share my testimony and preach a little bit, I knew nothing about hermeneutics or homiletics. Hermeneutics are Bible interpretation principles. There are at least 21 of them. Homiletics is basically sermon preparation and delivery. So, just put all that on a shelf and just start by reading your Bible and sharing what's in your heart. The best way to learn the Bible is read the Bible. Okay, let's all say it together. The best way to learn the Bible is to read the Bible. Now, later on in some other classes apart from tonight, soon, I'm going to teach you what to do with some difficult passages. Hold your hand out and say it together. Difficult passages. first of all, you should expect when you read the Bible, you are not going to understand a lot of it. Every time you read the Bible, you're not going to understand a lot of it. It is not a normal book. It is the Word of God. It is divinely inspired. Cannot be understood alone intellectually or even historically. Many people try to disprove the Bible by using other historical documents, thinking those historical documents are more accurate than the Bible. That in itself is a very weak foundation to stand on. So, let's say this together. This is the Word of God, and I need the Holy Spirit to teach me the Word of God. Now, as you read the Scripture, you're going to come across an occasional verse or text, a few verses, that seems contrary to other Scriptures. Now, hold up a text that seems contrary to other Scriptures. Hello? And say this together. Just put that on a shelf. And I'm going to show you how to deal with a text that seems to be different or contrary than other Scriptures. It's not to create doubt. It's not there for confusion. It is there for you to inquire of God and to give thought. If you are of the belief that this Scripture is true and these are false, that these contradict one another, you're approaching this incorrectly. You must approach it that all Scripture is inspired of God, and that this one that seems to be different than all of these means that I'm not understanding something, but I will, and in the meantime, it's not to trip me up. I'll think on it, I'll pray about it, I'll meditate on it, perhaps for years or decades, but the Holy Spirit will teach me. I try to keep 100 questions running all the time. And when I get an answer, okay, now I'm down to 93, I come up with some more questions. Lord, what about this? What about this? What about this? I like to ask questions. And how many of you know the Bible says the Lord enjoys that? He appreciates that. For you to question, ask questions about truth, to learn, not to challenge it as though it's not accurate. The Bible is accurate. Amen? Let's say together, the Bible is accurate. And so we just have things more to learn. So the Scripture does say in one place for women to be silent in church. Anybody read that? Is it truth? Yes. He also says that everybody in a service, that all can prophesy. Hello? That everyone's going to have a song. Everyone's going to have a word. So, at times, he instructed leaders to submit to other women leaders. So, is he confused? No. There are other dynamics to that one verse that seems contrary to multiple others. So we'll discuss that a little bit later on. Everybody okay so far? All right. So you don't want to feel, well, guilty or condemned, or you don't want the devil to tell you you're stupid, although at times we qualify for that. You should not expect yourself to know everything about the Bible. I had a lady one time speak to me as a pastor. She'd been to our church. And in this particular case, she gave me a thorough scolding. Mm-hmm. You could say she told me off. And you would be speaking nicely. Her subject matter was, I've attended your church. She did not believe in God. She was an atheist. She had attended the church with her husband. And she had gone through the church for several weeks and months asking people questions about the Bible on some different subjects, perhaps baptism, perhaps salvation. perhaps love. But she had asked some questions, and she got some different answers. If she asked 50 people, she probably got 50 different answers. I'm sure no one said the exact statement. I'm sure no one said the exact same thing. Turn around and tell somebody, thank God they didn't. Think about that a minute. And she said, you are not doing a good job pastoring, among other things. And I said, okay, how's that? And she said, well, not everyone in your church believes the same thing. And I said, well, of course not. And thank God they don't. They have a mind of their own. The Holy Spirit is their teacher. No two of us are the same age. How many of you have had children? There's a difference between a 2-year-old and a 15-year-old. There's a difference between a 15-year-old and a 29-year-old, hopefully. I said, not everybody here has known the Lord the same amount of time. Not everyone here has come from the same background. And we are in progress. Praise the Lord. Now, I met with her and her husband on a fairly regular basis, once a week, for several months, to answer questions and teach her the Word. I had a few Bible helps books with me, and I was answering her questions and walking her through the Word in their home in a private Bible study with her husband. And one day when I went, she said, I don't want to meet anymore. And she slid those books across the table and said, I want you to take all your books home. I said, all right. May I ask why? She said, because I'm almost persuaded this is truth. I have prayed for her since. She needs to get saved. She needs to be born again. So I continued, in my opinion, to minister to her in love and try to teach truth. Now, just say this with me. We all have a lot to learn. I have studied the Bible for 46 years. I have been studious in my studies. And I have so much to learn, it's amazing. I love to study the Bible in my own devotion time. I love to prepare messages to equip the body of Christ and teach the Word. I read it every day, knowing that daily it's fresh and alive. So I want to reiterate some things, and then I want to answer some of these questions. All right? I'm going to read these questions first. And so if you'll bear with me a minute. One is, why do you generally not recommend Bible study at night and encourage to study the Bible in the morning? Okay, just grab a hold of a few of those. These are all good questions. If it's from your heart and you are sincere, it's a good question. Pastor, just a quick follow-up question from last night's message. As the first action in the morning, what is ideal, the prayer or reading the Bible first, and why? They're not challenging me, and if they are, it's okay. These are good questions. Say together, these are some good questions. And this is one also. I know how to use a concordance, Pastor, but when you're reading and the Holy Spirit seems to highlight something, things for you, she's asking me now to preach on. Do you ever want to double check things you think you hear from the Lord or you think you understand? I feel like there are things I assume at times about the Word, maybe things that aren't said right out, but I don't want to assume. Am I making sense? Yes. So I have to say that when I preach it, I'm convinced of it. I'm convicted of it. I'm walking it out. I'm living it out. I'm applying it. And it's personal, and it is my conviction. Is it always 100% right? No. What? You mean sometimes you think you may communicate it wrong or make a mistake? Yes, I'm human. And that's why we're taught as individual believers to study the Bible, to judge everything in light of the Scripture, and to give me the benefit of the doubt that I am human and I'm growing and learning too. And until you've stood up here and spoken publicly like this, which has its own set of pressure, of which you rely upon the Lord, you can get a little tongue twisted at times or just not communicate it quite right. I always do my best to communicate it as accurately as possible, to give credit where credit is due and to give reference where I can, to be a credible. But there's no doubt, as all of us, if you walk with the Lord very long, you learn new things on the go that bring some of the things you thought in the past into a place of righteousness, holiness, and more accurate. Amen? So I share it as conviction, using tools and years of preparation, that what is being communicated is solid. Amen? And I've always used this expression. You may have heard me say it. You may have not. I don't refer to it very often. But if my goal is to take you somewhere, a barn up there in the mountains somewhere, I'm only going to take you as far as what I know and understand and have directions for. So, as I teach on a subject of sanctification or holiness or righteousness or salvation or baptism, Holy Spirit or submission, I'm only going to teach you the infinite amount of truth that I have understood and practiced in my life. So any subject, redemption, sanctification, the truth of that subject is infinite. But God brings us illumination to understand this revelation of His Word. And it is forever ongoing and can never be exhausted. Amen? I have learned in 34 years of pastoring, 46 years of preaching, to hopefully communicate so things are understood better, so that I'm more clear on the subject matter, etc. We learn those things on the go. But we're not afraid to share our heart, what God's speaking to us in the Word. And the best thing to remember is this. A couple things here. I appreciate just a few study helps. And this is just a few. Right now, I can't even carry that much. I have to have someone come up and help me carry these down here tonight. I appreciate them, and they are useful tools. However, I do not rely on those. I rely on the Holy Spirit, and the best Bible study is to remember this. Scripture interprets Scripture. So I want you to say it with me. Scripture interprets Scripture. So the more I read it and understand it, and if I take any one subject and look up more verses related to that subject, I'm going to get a better understanding of it over time. We should not be afraid of believing a lie or teaching something that's not true. Just read it and love Him, and you're going to learn more about Him, and you just share what you know. I'm amazed how many people try to trap me in a corner with leading questions, wanting to isolate me doctrinally. And you will find the same thing out about yourself. More people will want to argue about what you believe than to share hearts with one another. I do not waste my time arguing with people, and neither did Jesus. I don't waste my time, and Paul said, don't waste your time with foolish questions. Move on to those that are really hungry and drawing on the anointing and faithful. Hello? I've been on many a plane where, you know, someone wants to visit, etc., and I may say something about the Lord, and they make it clear I'm not a Christian. I don't believe that. I don't believe in miracles. I mean, they'll feed you a line really fast. I'm not going to argue with them. That's where I usually just tell them a testimony. I don't believe in healing. Well, I'd like to tell you a testimony how God healed me one day. Really? That happened? Yes. All right. So far, so good? Okay. Now, I believe that this is needed in the body of Christ, irregardless of our age, and that no Christian can be successful without learning to have devotion, read their Bible on a daily basis. No matter, and I try to read my Bible on a daily basis as a devotional. And since I'm a pastor and I speak a lot, I preach a lot. Probably more than anyone you've ever known. I have preached a lot. For 8 years, almost 900 times a year. Yeah, that's 7,200, right? 7,200, yeah, sermons in 8 years. And still preach 500 to 600. So I've preached a lot, but my devotional time is not sermon preparation or message responsibility. It's growth responsibility. We can't rely on being spoon-fed. We need to learn to be self-fed and to be taught by others so that we can learn and grow. At best, at an hour a sermon, two a week, you're going to get about 104 hours of preaching, but you are far above norm. You receive more preaching here than that. And your hunger far exceeds the norm. Your faithfulness in the things of God far exceeds the norm. And you're to be commended for that. Now, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, so they were open-minded to hear what was being taught. And then they searched the scripture daily to whether these things were true or not, whether they were accurate or not. Amen? All right. The best step to Bible study is daily. So I'm going to run through this relatively quick. When I pray, I know I'm talking to God. And the Bible says in John 10, Romans 8, yes, we can hear His voice, and yes, He can hear our voice, and we're led by the Holy Spirit. When I pray, I'm talking to God, and God could speak to me in prayer time or speak to me through the day and lead me. It'll never be contrary to the Word, but in Bible study, God is talking to us. Grab a hold of that. I recently said to a couple that you have been lazy in your walk with God, and that has helped contribute to your current problem. And they said, you're right, we have been, Pastor, and it's never going to happen again because it's caused us to get in trouble. I said, if you will solve that relationship with God, you will find through a repentant heart, these other things will come into balance and God will give you favor and fix things. But you can't fix problems on your own. You're just going to get in more trouble. So it's our personal letter from God. It's good to give God, I believe, a certain length of time every morning. I'll give you some reasons for that. But the best way to study the Bible is daily, one, and two, say this with me, thoughtfully. So I'm not just reading it thinking about 40 other things. I'm focused on it. Now, when I read my Bible, when I pray, I almost always have a pen and tablet. Because as soon as I start to read, about 15 things are going to jump in my mind. That rear tire on my Suburban needed repaired. It's leaking air. This needs done. I need to change oil in that vehicle. Oh, I need to call so-and-so. I forgot to return this call. I need to make sure to call my son and tell him this. Well, rather than try to shove that aside, I write it down. If you shove it aside, you won't have peace of mind. If you write it down, I believe a lot of times I kneel down to pray or read my Bible. I believe a lot of times the Holy Spirit's bringing those things actually to remembrance. And I just write them down. Now I'm at peace to really pray or really read my Bible thoughtfully. So say this with me, daily and thoughtfully. So I want you to get focused on that rather than, well, how do you know if what you're saying is the truth? And what about all this? I have hundreds of volumes of study type information, books, etc. I'm old school. I don't use electronic. I'm paper, books, pen. If you're electronic generation, that's fine. But I think if you limit it to electronics, you can really miss a lot of things. Especially when it comes to your own creativity with the Holy Spirit. Your product that came from you and God is better than plagiarism. And will take you farther. And sustain you. Because it's yours. It's yours. All you ladies that are married and have a wedding ring, hold your hand up and just say this together. That's mine. That's mine. That's yours. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, so, well, just grab a hold of this and bring peace to you. Say it again, daily, thoughtfully. That's the best way to study your Bible right there. And the more you read it, the more you're going to understand it. So the night I got saved, even though I'd been in church all my life, and I knew a lot of Bible stories, and I'd heard a lot of sermons, probably 500 or 600 by the time I was 12. When I got saved, I went to the Lord in prayer that night, and I said, Lord, I don't really understand what happened, but I believe that I'm born again. If I die right now, I'm going to be with you and live forever. I'm absolutely confident that I have eternal life, but I would like for you to help me understand salvation so I could lead others to Christ like the man led me to the Lord tonight at the altar. So I started studying my Bible about being saved and about salvation. Just started reading. My pastor gave me some verses. And 6 months later, I led a good friend named Paul to the Lord. I got him right up to the prayer. I said, and we knelt down there, and I said, just a minute. And I asked my dad to come in with us, and he helped me with the prayer part. Isn't the Lord good? So go ahead, turn around and tell us about it. I'm feeling better already. Now, I believe it's better to give God a certain length of time, and it's better to do that in the morning. Sometime when you're not in a hurry and you're not just skimming through it, and I recommend people start by reading their Bible to study it just 15 minutes a day. So grab a hold of that. Well, that's not very long. You set a goal, I'm going to read my Bible an hour a day, 2 hours a day. You're going to be overwhelmed and you'll become discouraged. And you're better off just to read. Give him 15 minutes a day. I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. Just give him 15 minutes so you can do it thoughtfully. How's that sound? I recommend daily, I recommend in the morning, and I recommend 15 minutes of Bible study. Say together, reading my Bible, studying my Bible. And I recommend you do it systematically. Now, this one question was, and I'm going to go back to it, all right? So bear with me just a minute. This one question, it's a good one. And this person is what we might call a night person. How many of you are what we call night people? You stay up a little later, raise your hand real high. You know, don't be ashamed of it. You like to sleep in a little bit or sleep a little later in the day if it's possible, and you are awake still going at night at midnight. God help your spouse. How many of you are morning people? All right. Neither one is necessarily better than the other. You are the way you are. If given opportunity, without the demand, I like to get up early, 3 or 4 in the morning. I like to be up and at it. If I don't have to work late, whatever that is, but usually hard to get home before 10 or 11, man, I want to go to bed. I don't need to read and stay up and write letters. I'm just trying to get to bed. Praise the Lord. And I can go to sleep fast. And I can wake up instantly. So, remembering the last 10 minutes before you go to sleep is when you learn the most, the best. The first 10 minutes when you wake up is when you're most creative by research, irregardless of whether you're a night person or not, or a morning person or not. My wife is a morning person. As long as no one touches her, talks to her, and she has coffee. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I'm not being critical. I love the smell of coffee, especially in my kitchen, in my house, first thing in the morning when my wife's there. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a good day. Other than that, I keep my mouth shut and stay hid. Okay, now. Go ahead, turn around and tell us about it. I know what he means. And she'd be wide awake at midnight, working on the computer, writing letters, getting classes ready, writing homework for the school of ministry. She'll want to talk, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. One of the biggest mistakes I made in our marriage. Huge. I'd been on a mission trip. I had worked hard. I got in about 1 or 2 in the morning after like 26 hours nonstop to get there. And I laid down in bed. And it was late. But, you know, for a night person, late is like 3. And I kept falling asleep. She kept talking. And I made the biggest mistake of my life. I probably didn't exactly say it right. But I'm not sure you could have said it right. But boy, I only did it once. I'm thinking, she's telling me a lot of important stuff here. Kids and appointments and things that need picked up and places I'm supposed to be. And I can't remember this. And I said, turn out to somebody, get ready to hear stupid. It's not in reference to the person, but the subject content. Well, you come back next Wednesday, I'll tell you. Now, no, I said to her, should I be writing this down? Turn around and tell us, well, that's a big mistake. Men, just go ahead and fall asleep and be natural. All right, moving along. What was that about? Night people, morning people, it doesn't matter. Read your Bible at night in a type of meditation or think about it at night before you go to sleep. And ask the Lord to be Lord of your sleep and Lord of your dreams. But study it in the morning. Did you get that? Meditate on it at night. I like to meditate. Last thing I do before I go to sleep, meditate on a verse and ask the Lord to be the Lord of my sleep and the Lord of my dreams. But I study my Bible in the morning. I recommend you do the same thing. And my answer to that really is very simple. You get fueled up before you start your day. You start your day with rest, biblically in the Bible, in the evening. You get up in the morning with the Word, and the Word fuels you up to go the day. And we know as we get older, big meals at night are a problem. You'll carry them with you for weeks or decades. Rule number one, don't eat heavy at night. Not supposed to eat heavy after 6 o'clock. Lord help. Say it together, Lord help. Same thing with the Word. Okay, so say, well, that doesn't sound very sophisticated or deep. Exactly. Say it together, exactly. All right. Now, let me go to this other question here. Bear with me a moment. He said, this person said, a quick follow-up question, Pastor, a quick follow-up. As the first action in the morning, what is ideal, to pray or read the Bible first? Now, here's my answer to that. I recommend you read first and pray second. Especially if you wake up with some fear or doubt or anxiety trying to attack you. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're never going to be well. You don't have a future. Now, the reason is, I want you to say this with me. Faith come by praying. No. Faith come by hearing and hearing a word from God. So, as you read the Logos, the written, complete Word of God, Rhema will come out to you. God will speak to you through the Word. Now you have a promise to pray into. Are you with me? So, I've as practiced, I almost always read my Bible first, but it's not a law. I have awakened prophesying before, and so have you. I have awakened speaking in tongues. When I came out of surgery in the first place of recovery, I heard myself praying loud in tongues. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Then I was given instructions. I sat up and I was telling people what to do. And some of those women came over there and tried to calm me down and tell me to lay down. I grabbed them by the back of the head and the hair, got handfuls of hair, and pulled them up close. I said, who are you? I don't know you. Because, you know, they weren't following instructions. And they talked to me really nice. They were kind to me. And I laid down. I woke up praying in tongues loud several times. And as I kind of came to, and then they roll you to the second place, I grabbed that lady, and she got close, you know, and I grabbed hold of her and pulled her up close. And I said, am I being nice? Am I being kind? She said, oh yeah, Mr. Johns, you're being kind. She lied to me. But nonetheless, we went in the surgeon's office, and there were several offices, you know, in one area. We're sitting in the waiting room. Some lady goes by. She's a nurse. And, oh, hello, Mr. Johns. How are you? And I said, I'm fine. And my wife said, where'd you meet her? And I said, I don't know who that is. I never saw that lady in my life. She said, well, she knows you. I said, I bet she works in recovery. I have a reputation. Okay, say it with me. I like to study my Bible. Get up in the morning and read your Bible and pray. However, there are times where you may wake up praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit or with an unction to get up and pray in the Spirit. You don't have to read your Bible as a law. Don't be legalistic. Holy Spirit moves you and you have an anointing on you to pray. Get at it. But generally, a lot of times, I'm going to teach this in the school of ministry when I teach on prayer, the weaponry of prayer. Write that down, Linda, if you would. The weaponry of prayer. Thank you. All right, say it together. Weapons are warfare. Or they're not carnal, but they are mighty pulling down strongholds. And then weaponry of prayer, God wants us to learn how to use. Okay, moving right along. Yeah, God's good. There are times where I may have a need. Hold a need out here on your fishing pole, clear at the end, out on a string. Right out there is a need, and you got a cane pole. A lot of times, I will, before I even pray once, I will read the word looking for a promise. A rhema promise to stand on. I will not pray about that need until I've got a word. If I don't have a word, I don't know how to pray. If I don't have a word, I don't know what to say. Hello? In the natural, you would not want me as an enemy. You would prefer to have me as a companion in the natural, even though I'm old and slow. Praise the Lord. When I hunt, I ask the Lord for two things. Not a deer or an elk. I ask Him to help me be swift and accurate. Hello? I don't want a freebie. I don't want one shot by someone else flopping down dead under my tree. I just want to be swift and accurate. Okay, moving right along. That's the way you want to learn to pray. You can't pray like that till you have a word, till you have a promise. A lot of times what people are asking for is the last thing they ever want. There's a guy that wrote a country song, probably made enough money to buy a farm, and he was going into the class reunion. He was thanking God that God didn't hear his prayer when he was asking for that girl for a wife. And he saw her 25 years later and wrote a song, "Thank God you didn't answer that prayer." It's true about the song. And the content of the song is accurate. Thank God you didn't answer that prayer. You were brokenhearted and cried over it. Put all kind of nonsense on Facebook. And it was God all the time protecting you from a nightmare. Woo! Say again, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? All the time. Say together all the time. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? All right, now. Okay, so you tell me a few things you've learned tonight. Raise your hand real quick. You can use your note. Yeah, loud now. Yes? Pray daily. Pray daily. Good. Someone else? Pray into it. Read the word till God speaks you out of the word and then pray into it. You got a need, you got a situation, pray into it. Can I hear an amen? Take the one God wants. It's always the best one. Anybody else? Pray what? Thoughtfully. Yes, ma'am. Scripture, interpret scripture. What do you do if you find something that seems contradictory to all these other scriptures? Set it aside and just ask God to talk to you about it later on. Someone else, what did you learn? Yes, sir. Estelle. Yeah. Just fall asleep and forget it, baby. Just have her repeat it tomorrow. I'm sorry, honey, I fell asleep. What'd you say? Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Don't argue with people that want to fight and argue scriptures and debate. Somebody that's drawing on the anointing, answer the questions. I'm not going to fuss with people or fight with people. Doesn't do any good. Yes, sir. Write down before you start your Bible study or your prayer time. If there's anything coming to mind, details of your day, we got a lot to do, all of us. Don't worry about that and try to shove it aside. Just write it down. It works real good for me. I think it'll work for you. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Jim. study in the morning. So you got food. You begin with rest. Then you begin with the Word to take you through your awakening hours of the day. Meditate at night and let the Lord be the Lord of your sleep and the Lord of your dreams. You wake up refreshed with the creativity of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Right there in the white sweater. It's perfectly okay if you don't understand. I want you to say this with me as a matter of confession. When I study my Bible, every morning, I won't understand all of it. It's divine. It's divine. The world can't understand it. You need the Holy Spirit. All right, someone else, something else. Yes, ma'am, Joy. When I study the Bible, God's talking to me through the Word. He could speak to me through the day, through prayer. He might drop something in my heart, call so-and-so. He did that this morning, call so-and-so, and I did. Or this afternoon, I think it was. And I just asked him a question and blessed him. They started crying. It was awesome. But God speaks to me when I read the Word. Okay, Lynn? Best way to learn the Bible is read the Bible. All right. Now, let me come back to this one. It gets a little complicated here. You know, my concern when I preach or share things, what if I, you know, have assumed something about the Word? Don't worry about assuming something about the Word. Let Scripture and Scripture interpret. Let Scripture interpret Scripture and keep it simple. What you're convicted of, what you know in your heart. So, for example, I could say to you this. I'm convinced. I was 12 years old. And my pastor said, share your testimony and preach a little bit this morning. I heard you got saved last night. Yes, sir. I was worried sick. I mean, I was like, oh, God, help. But I felt like the Lord said, John 4, just talk about the woman at the well. And I said, well, I received the Lord last night and I was born again. And I'm not the same. I've changed. Like the woman at the well, she was there by herself and Jesus sat down with her and he explained to her who he was. She believed on him, brought everybody else and they began to believe on him because of what he said. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5, you must be born again. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Pay for our sin. If you want to receive Christ and be born again today, he can erase your sins can be erased and you can be born again right now. If you want to receive the Lord, come on up here. 54 people got saved. Was I a Bible scholar? No. It was as simple as that. There was a woman one time at a well and Jesus went there just to talk to her. She was all by herself and had a hard life. She believed on Jesus and told everybody, and they believed her and came. Then they began to believe him. Isn't that simple? Hello? And so what if I'd have said there was a woman from Samantha? Well, it's Samaritan. You need to get this right. Well, I'm just starting, and I'm trying, and I'm not good with names anyhow. Hello? And I'm way better with numbers than spelling. You go ahead and keep on complaining while I reload. You see what I'm saying? Grab a hold of that. That's the answer to this question. Does God love me? Yeah. All the time? Yes, even when I don't feel like he should. All right? So far, so good, right? I'm going to take about 10 more minutes. All right, I think I answered all these questions, right? And you feel like, I hope this is encouraging to you and beneficial. Can I hear an amen? All right, now, this may sound simple. But you know, I think sometimes the longer we walk with the Lord, the more people impose on us that we're supposed to know everything. Turn around and tell somebody, I don't have a clue. And I do not know. You need to be at liberty to be able to say that so you can grow in God and not think you're supposed to know everything. Turn around and tell somebody, that's news to me, that I'm not supposed to know everything. Everybody in my family thinks they know everything. No, in God, you come to this place where you realize, I don't know everything. You realize, I've tried all this on my own and my life's a mess. I need God. Okay? Now, a systematic approach to Bible study is best. And I gave you several different ways to read your Bible. You can get some of those things online like Upper Room. And you can go online and they may have you read two chapters a day from these two books and one chapter a day from that book and move it around. So you read those every day, and at the end of the year, you read your whole Bible. That's a good method. And I gave you some other methods as well. One of those is a chronological Bible. So in my 46 years of being a believer, 1 year for devotions, I read a chronological Bible. There is one right here. It's called the Reese Chronological Bible. It's very good, very reputable. You can just take those chapters, and I told you how many chapters were in the Bible. 1,189, 929 in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. And so you read approximately 3.3 chapters a day, you're going to get through the Bible in a year. What is the advantage of maybe reading a chronological Bible? Is that it's basically the order of which things happened. So it helps you understand the Bible as a story. And I like to just read it every so often as a story from beginning to end, verses through, books broken down into categories of Pentateuch, history, poetry, major prophets, minor prophets, just to read it chronological. I like to read it occasionally like the Living Bible. Is it the most accurate translation? No. Well, you shouldn't be using those Bibles. Wrong. That's legalism. That is absolute legalism and control. Thank you very much. I read my chronological Bible for a year in my own, I've done it more than once, in my own personal devotions. Hello? And I've read the Living Bible several times just to kind of look at it as a story with simple reading. Hello? It's kind of like the Reader Digest version of the Bible. Do I base theology on it? No. Do I use it as a study reference Bible? No. I read it to know the story, to help me know the story. And I learn by stories. We hailed by way of Wales a long time ago and up in there where the Vikings lived. That's my mom's side of the family. We like to learn by telling stories. I learn by hearing stories. We learn different ways. I ought to teach a class on that. We need to understand that as parents. All right. There are study reference Bibles. One of the favorites that I've ever seen is Thompson Chain. And I know how to use this inside and out. It's a very good reference Bible. But you need to be careful reading the notes at the bottom or in the back, because those are often written by people who are defending more of their doctrine than they are necessarily explaining what the scripture said. They're giving you their interpretation of what this means, and that may not always be accurate. The Bible is accurate. A reference Bible referring to other verses that are similar is accurate, but what they may interpret that in saying may not be accurate. But I like reference Bibles. What I preach out of and what I use is a Bible that just has the chapter and the numbers. There is no reference and there's no commentary. I give them away on a regular basis to people that I believe are called to preach. I've given thousands of them away. Because I try to memorize what the word says and where it's at, versus relying on my personal notes. Personal notes are good, but a lot of people are more led by personal notes than they are by Holy Spirit and verse. Not that there's anything wrong with taking notes and writing down things God's showing you. If you don't study it, you won't know it. If you do study it, you're going to really know it. Can I hear an amen? All right. Now, you could study it by topic. Salvation, faith. I like to use the Strong's Concordance and the Exhaustive Concordance. It's accurate and it's fast. I can look up the word faith, find every place it's found in the Bible. To the right, there's a number. If it's Old Testament, Hebrew, go to the numbers in the back related to Hebrews. Hebrew language. If it's New Testament, it's Greek. I go to the numbers in the back under the Greek section, and it gives me the meaning of that word and will lead me to the root word. I use that a lot. I've traveled in 6 continents and preached in a lot of nations a whole lot of times, and this is all I take right here. I carry it in a canvas bag or a plastic sack usually. Nobody's ever seen me travel, ever tried to rob me for anything. I don't have a computer bag. Hello? And I carry my toothbrush in a plastic bag. Nobody ever stole my toothbrush either. I grab my canvas bag, throw it over my shoulder, and it's got my Bible and my Strong's in it, and I'm coming home. Every nation I landed in, I don't even know where I've been. I don't know any towns I've been in. I don't know any cities I've been in any continent where I've been. I go through customs and pick up my bag, and the pastors meet me in the airport in front of everybody. I give them my wallet. I give them my passport. And who wants to steal Wrangler jeans from Walmart? Look at him and say it together. It's not worth the effort. You can buy my clothing at the farm store. And all I got in here is this. I took my Bible one time that belonged to my great-grandmother. When I first got saved, I was so concerned about deception. That I said to myself, well, I am just going to study my great-grandma's Bible. It was over 100 years old. So I had a hard time getting through customs one time because they thought I was taking home an ancient book of value. It took me quite a while to convince them. I've gotten out of other countries before that didn't know what a Bible was and didn't know what they were reading, said, what is this? Weren't supposed to be there. Wasn't supposed to be there with the Bible. I said, well, I am a teacher related to agriculture and sowing and reaping. I teach people how to plant seeds and get a harvest, provide for their families and benefit their government. And they said, here, take this and go back. Come back someday. Hold your Bible up and tell somebody, be wise. So you could read it topically. You could read it. You could study characters. Mix it up a little, but study it. Anybody have a favorite character in the Bible? Anybody? What's your favorite character? Who? David? Somebody else? Yes, ma'am? Ruth? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am? Woman at the well? Yes, ma'am? Say that again. Esther? Yes, ma'am? Moses? Yes, sir. Mary. Yes, ma'am. Who? Hannah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Joseph. You got to go a long way to beat Joseph. I do kind of like the part where Samson killed those 1,000 people with the jawbone there, his eyeballs and hairs and teeth everywhere. That's my favorite, I think. Unless it's Goliath and hanging his head to be bleached out with the tongue and eyeballs being eaten out by maggots and ravens. I could preach on that forever. I'm telling you the truth. I was born a warrior. I knew the Bible was true when I went to the doctor's office and I opened it up with a storybook and I read about Goliath. I thought, that's my God. And I thought, I like to kill giants. I was very successful in my first dental appointment too. I learned when I was 5, take a sling to the dentist office. He tried to use on me what in those days was called a cry box. They cover your mouth and face so you can't breathe. He did not get away with it. Praise the Lord. Some of you look at me kind of weird. It doesn't take a 5-year-old to learn very long. Squeal loud enough long enough, Mama Bear's going to come through the door. Okay, moving right along. So read some every day. Switch it around a little bit, but be consistent. Because if you're not systematic in some way, you're going to fail. You can't just pick it up and ramble. I'm going to read here today. I'll flop it up and see where it falls out. You won't get very far, and you won't accomplish anything. And systematic is better off. And everybody said, okay, now I'm going to have to quit here in a minute, but I might have one more question coming in. I said, read your Bible in the morning. Say again, read your Bible in the morning. So, your day begins at night biblically. Your day begins with rest. God fellowshiped Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Your day begins in the evening. A Jewish day in the Bible begins in the evening, 6 o'clock. So begin your day with rest. And before you go to sleep, just meditate on the Word, something God put in your heart, and ask the Lord to be Lord of your sleep and Lord of your dreams. Get up in the morning, do your Bible study, and then pray, generally speaking. Study in the morning. Say again, study in the morning. So your body's refreshed. You've had sleep. Your spirit man's refreshed. You've read and studied the Word. The Holy Spirit has been created to show you things for that day when you wake up, and you're ready to go all day. Study your Bible, even if you're a night person, in the morning. Praise the Lord. So, if you don't have a husband, get one of those machines that makes coffee on its own. Get up, shower, and try to make yourself presentable and drink your coffee and then read your Bible. Okay, well, trying to be helpful. Let's say it again. I got it. I got it. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Any questions for me before I close? Yes, sir. I like to read variety. Do I like chapter form or column form? These are column form by chapter. I prefer it. But if as a study. But if I want to read it like a book, the Living Bible is written by the chapter. It's written in paragraphs like a regular book. And I read the Living Bible for 3.5 years for devotions, 75 chapters a day. Just wanted to read it as a story. I studied my Bible through today to get sermons ready at other times. I read 75 chapters a day because it was a conviction, not as a law. I wanted to honor God. I wanted to put the Word first in my life. I do not feel like the Lord told me I was supposed to do that. I do not feel like He said I couldn't do it. I wanted to do it to honor Him. And He gave me grace to read it 10 years all through college. My bachelor's and my master's, it took me a while because I had babies and starting a church and starting a farm and business, and took a while. It took grace. So I tried not to make the education the priority, but to planting the church and take care of my family and the other things as I could accomplish them. Anyone else? Any other questions real quick? We got a minute or two. Anyone else? All right. Turn around and tell us about it. I'm encouraged to read my Bible. One more time. I'm encouraged to read my Bible systematically on a daily basis. And married couples, remember this. You pray 3 minutes a day minimum together. The divorce rate among married couples that pray 3 minutes a day is 1 out of 1,000. That's a pretty good rate. Agreement brings miracles to your life. Thank you very much. I pray God just put a hunger in you for all of us to study the Word. Now, Jason Pletcher, are you still here? Jason is a very good Bible student, a scholar, graduate from seminary, and I've pastored him a long time. Dr. Shirley says, as president of the school, she can tell who I have pastored in their papers. I believe it. I think she meant it was for the good. Jason will be here, and there are some books here that you may want to see that might help you. Bear with me just a moment as I read through these. This is a Vines Expository Dictionary. Very good. Here's the word judgment. References, Hebrew and Greek, what it means, where it can be found. This is a Thompson Chain Bible. I highly recommend it. And it has been my study Bible for almost 40 years. Although I no longer use it, I used it for years, traveled with it for years. This is a Haley's Bible Handbook. Very good. And in here you can look up Ruth or a portion of Scripture, or look at a theme of chapter 12 of Romans, the transformed life. Very good. This is Erdman's Handbook of the Bible. This helps you immensely. The book of Jeremiah, the book of Matthew. This is another Bible that I have one on my desk that I like that has 4 translations in columns from left to right. This one has 2. The Life Application Study Bible on the top and New Testament translation on the bottom. Sometimes as you read 2 or 3 translations with a verse, it helps you understand the meaning a little bit better. Reese's Chronological Bible. This is, help me here, Knave's Topical Bible. These are topics that are in the Bible. Miracles, praise, regeneration, self-defense. That's good. And this is Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Outstanding to help you understand the history and the geographical location of where these things took place. These books here belong to Jason on the bottom. He will explain these to you as you come and look at them today. However, please remember, as much as I appreciate these tools, and almost all of mine were given to me by my grandmothers when I was a teenager. I have over 100 study references that came to me before I was married. I read them as a teenager. So, but that does not replace reading your Bible every morning. That will not substitute your daily devotion. All right, say it together. I'm getting it. Am I recommending you study all these? No, I'm recommending you study your Bible. Are these good tools for you to have later on? Well, I have 6 DeWalt drills. Turn around and tell somebody, what does that have to do with anything? And if you want to give me a DeWalt drill, I'll take it. I've gone to jobs before and passed them out like candy bars to anybody that wants to use it and get a job done. You can't have too many power tools. Praise the Lord. And these are power tools. All right. Let's see. I got it. So you come up and take a look at these. But they will not substitute just getting the book and reading the book. Amen. So thank you, Lord. Seal these words in our heart. You need prayer for you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. For more information on our available resources and conference information, and to hear more teaching from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at whcc.net. You may also contribute there to the ministries of Whitehorse Christian Center. Thank you, and have a blessed day.